Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having our good friend Michael Sossman back on the show. Michael's a 9-year member of our Brain Trust. He's vice president of Berman & Company, research director for Employment Policies Institute, and he's the guy we turn to when we want to talk about minimum wage, because he tracks this, he keeps up with this, he knows all about it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, Jim, it's always great to be on. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. So, Michael, give us a little tour, if you don't mind, of where the minimum wage is in with regard to the states. There's some new activity that's been going on for the last couple of years around the country where various states have raised minimum wage, or maybe not just a state, maybe a city, raised minimum wage significantly. Can you give us a little bit of a report on all that?
Yeah, sure, Jim. So, you know, I mean, to some extent, you have to go back to the last federal minimum wage fight in 2014, and there was a big push, a national push, to try and get a 10-10 minimum wage passed in Congress, and it was ultimately unsuccessful. And so what the labor groups who were supporting that decided to do is they put a lot more money and resources into their fight for 15, which in order to build momentum for that campaign, they started going to places where they knew legislators were already pretty well aligned with their priorities, and they really mm-hmm. just kind of wanted to know how high and how fast. And so starting in places like SeaTac in Seattle and Washington State, and then moving throughout California, and then to New York State, they have enacted in some locales.
The more progressive poles of America.
Tends to be either the more progressive
the
or more recent. Yeah, that's right.
They didn't make a stop in Sheboygan or Dimebox, Texas. They didn't stop either one of those places. Go ahead.
I think they left them off the list.
Yeah.
I assume they're getting there soon.
Yeah.
But you know, what they've done in more recent, you know, iterations is they've tried now to take the momentum from those early wins, and they've either gone to the ballot box to try and enact maybe not 15, but for instance, they just got an $11 minimum wage passed in Arkansas.
The state,
or they've tried now that what they're trying to do is do a federal push as
the
well.
The state of Arkansas has $11 minimum wage.
It's phasing in over the next couple of years, and they passed it at the ballot box. That's
wow.
right.
Wow.
And it's been very disruptive already. I mean, there were some stories the day after it passed of restaurants and child care providers, you know, basically talking about how they were going to have to make adjustments to their staff and their
yep.
pricing and the hours people work.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So
people don't realize how this ripples through the economy, and every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And when you there's nothing wrong with people making $15 an hour, $10 an hour, $12 an hour. Lord knows there's nothing wrong with that at all. The problem is when it's just like everything else the government imposes itself on. The problem is that when the government gets involved and imposes itself in something like minimum wage, it creates unnatural implications that hurt people often that were intended to be helped, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's probably no clearer example of that than what we've seen happen in some of these markets that have embraced, you know, these California and Seattle places that have gone to much higher minimum wages. The economists that have been studying those areas have confirmed that exactly what we thought was going to happen.
Don't we know about some of the problems it's created for Seattle?
We do, yeah. I mean, you know, there's many employees in Seattle who lost so many hours of work that they didn't end up getting a raise at all. And then there was another study that came out recently that basically found that it was closing down pathways for new entrants, less skilled.
There's only so much money. It's a finite amount of money. The amount any business has for payroll, it's only so much. And when the government fiat tells the company they got to pay more, that doesn't put more money in the company's pocket.
Jim, there's a small business owner who we talked to.
Hold on to that, Michael. I'm going to let you tell us about her after the break. Folks, we're going to talk about some of the specifics about the impact of a minimum wage increase, especially the $15 nightmare that could hit us. 22, right back after the break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.